come back and study with us. We meet again on Wednesday nights at 7:30, and as you know, our worship and Bible study is at 9:30 in the morning and then at 10:30. Had a great weekend. I had an opportunity to hang out with our youth group. We went to a city called Warner's Chapel, and we did a youth group, youth rally at the Church of Christ there, and it was a lot of fun. I thank Ozzy and Brother Jason and his family and the Halls for help organizing that. It was fun-filled and spirit-filled, and I enjoyed hanging out with the youth group. Today, I would like to share a message with you all to be filled with encouragement that will allow us to trust Jesus, you know, with our lives and to glorify God with our blessings. As Christians, we have many blessings, and it's important to recognize Christ with those blessings. We must keep our focus on things that are not seen. Those are the things in heaven. And versus those things which are temporal, which are going to pass away. So temporal things, as we know, according to Scripture, are going to fade away. Read about that in 2 Peter 2:17. And the things, the eternal, last forever. So that's where our focus, our attention needs to be. That's found in 2 Corinthians 4:18. But to help us better understand this, I'll be using a parable. I'll actually be looking at Luke 12:13-14. And that's the study of the rich farmer. So if you can turn your Bibles to Luke 12, and if you can, mark that. You know, use your Bible marker, a little string if you have it, put it there. If you don't have one of those little strings, get a card and just put it on Luke 12, because we're going to be going back and forth between this chapter and some other supporter scriptures to help us understand the importance of using our blessings for God and being cautious of, you know, how the cares of the world can kind of distract us. Before we get into the parable in Luke 12 where Jesus talks about the rich farmer, just for background, for us to understand what's going on, in Luke 12, in like verse 1, we understand that the multitudes were gathering. They're coming together, and they're coming together in such a way that they're trampling on top of each other, because we all know that when Jesus speaks, you know, he's going to fill us. You're going to be filled. And so people really wanted to hear what Jesus had to say, and they're trampling on each other. And Jesus, he spoke with authority. He didn't speak as the Pharisees spoke. You know, the Pharisees will put heavy burdens on the people and say things, but not hold up to those same expectations, right? And sometimes the Pharisees would even discourage the people, disciples, the followers, from preaching what is truth according to the scriptures and the truth according to God. And so Jesus, he helps us understand not to be fearful. He helps us understand that, one, we have value and we have purpose, right? We have value and we have purpose. So if we look at chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, he encourages us, go ahead and speak the truth. And he says, "And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who will kill the body, but after that have no more that they can do." Verse 5. "But I'll show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him." So we should fear God. We should not be discouraged or afraid to confess Jesus Christ at work, at school, in a community. Don't be afraid. Go ahead and confess Christ. God will protect us. You know, we have great value to God, great value. If we look at verses 6 and 7, he tells you how important we are to him. He's going to protect us. And it says here in verse 6 and 7, "And not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear. Therefore, you are far more valued than many sparrows." God says we're more important than his creation. We're more important than the sparrows, the birds. And he pays so close attention to us that he knows every speck of hair that's on our body. Everyone. Even when we lose hair, he doesn't lose count. That's how much God cares about us, is that he's looking over us, he's watching over us, and he knows everything that's going on in our lives. So we're valuable to him. In fact, we know that he came to seek and to save the lost, Luke 19:10. And that's us. So he left heaven to come here to teach us about God and to die on a cross for us, because he loves us, he loves our souls, and he wants us to go back to heaven with him. So we're valuable. And we have a purpose on this earth, too. And that is to serve God, to worship him in truth, right? And we have a job to do, too, and that is to confess Christ before men. So if we read 12:8-9, it says, "Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, Him, the Son of Man, he will also confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. So we have to have the courage, we have to have the love, we have to have the faith to tell others about Christ. You know, we're his body. He's the head, we're the hands and the feet, we're his mouthpiece. We have to go and teach and preach and tell people. It's kind of exciting to see our live wires when they're passing out those mussel and shovel books and people are getting baptized, or our youth group, you see them bringing people to church or to a youth rally. So we're doing the work, which is exciting. Well, that brings us up to the parable of the farmer. So, again, keep your Bibles open, Luke 12. Let's look at verse 13. This is an odd request. You know, Jesus has talked about our value, talked about our purpose. He has talked about how important we are, right? And we have to confess God. Then out of the crowd, read verse 13 with me. It says, "Then one from the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.'" He was concerned about a financial issue. There was something on his heart that was dealing with a family financial issue, inheritance, and material possessions, right? And this is what Jesus said in verse 14. But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" Jesus cares about us, but that's not why he came, was to judge and to solve disputes over material possessions and inheritances. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came to teach us about God and to help us know how to love each other and to be about his business and have a rich life here on this earth. So one of the ways Jesus handled this, you know, before the crowd, before I even get into that, I'm just going to address this. You know, when we look at just examples of people who are looking at blessings in the Bible, we learn that there's people who came to Jesus for the blind. You know, people wanted to see. He healed them. The lame, the leprous, he healed those. Those are the most common requests. There was even a woman who was bleeding for 12 years and said, "If I can just touch his cloak, I will be healed." Right? They had faith. They knew that if they can see him, touch him, get in his shadow, they would be healed. And even in John 5:18, you remember when you had some friends, they were carrying their buddy on the mat, and they came up to the house and they couldn't get in? They went to the top. They took his friend to the top. I don't know how you do that. You get him on his mat and his cart, and you get him up to the top of the roof, and they tore up the roof. They drop him down before Jesus, right? Lowered him down for Jesus, and Jesus says, "Because of your faith, you're healed." They had that much faith. And that's what you read about most people doing when they're seeking Jesus, not financial problems or material possessions per se. And even here at our congregation, you know, I think it's great that we pray for each other. We have our message board requests, you know, for healing, to bless our service, to work for God, and we also give thanks. But it's usually not things that are pertaining to our own inward personal needs. So how did Jesus handle this? We look at verse 16. Okay, let's go back to verses 15. Let's look at 15. He says, "And he said to them, 'Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses.'" So Jesus says, our life does not consist of our material possessions. So this way he's handling this person's financial request. It's not material things that's going to make us whole. It's not going to complete us. And it's not going to make our lives any better. I'm not sure how old that guy was that was asking for his material possessions to be divided up. But he was only going to have it for a moment of time, because we're only alive on this earth for a moment of time. And so God says, don't put so much effort into that. So he gives the parable of the rich farmer. And let's look at that together. He tells us in verses 16 to 21. He gives us a little bit more feedback. So let's read that. "Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, 'The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought with himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build greater there. And I'll store up all my crops and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God." So we go back and we look at that. We go back to 15, and God makes it clear. It says, "Take heed and be aware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. So keep that in mind in relation to the parable. Then verse 19, we look at what the farmer says. He says to himself, soul, you read with me, you have many good things laid up for many years. It says, take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He thought that's what life was about. There was nothing about being rich towards God. It was about himself, right? He wanted to eat, he wanted to drink, and he wanted to be merry. Not going to church, not sharing his blessings, but eat, drink, and be merry. And in verse 20, God says, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? All right? So again, everything that that rich farmer did was for nothing. He worked, he provided, he planned, he dreamed. And because of his attitude, right, and the way he handled it, he died. So we have a warning in verse 21. God makes it clear. He says, so is he who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. So, brethren, we have to be rich towards God. God blesses us, and it's okay to have blessings, but God tells us where our focus needs to be. And we always read Matthew 22 and 34. You know, he's asked about the great commandment, right? And we ought to love God with all our hearts, our mind, our soul, our strength, and love our neighbor towards ourselves. As we get blessings, we keep those things in mind, and I think we're going to be okay. And, you know, the man didn't sin or lose his life because of work. He didn't lose his life because he was rich. He was not rich towards God. You know, we're commanded to work. In 2 Thessalonians 3:10, it says, this is Paul when he's encouraging the church in Thessalonica. He says, even when we were with you, we command you to do this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. So we have to work to provide for ourselves. And it's okay to save and invest for the future, but we can't forget about God. You know, we look at Jesus' example. Hold your mark there on Luke 12, but turn to John 5:17. Let's see what Jesus is doing. If you turn our Bibles to John 5:17, it says, but Jesus answered them after he had healed on the Sabbath. He already healed on the Sabbath. He's answering them. He says, but Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. So what do we see in this scripture? God works, and Jesus works, right? And we go back to Genesis 2:15. God put Adam where? In the garden? To do what? To tend to it. So even Adam was required to work, okay? And you know what? It's also okay to be wealthy. It's okay to be rich as long as we follow God's commands and we use that wealth as God has commanded us. If we go to 1 Timothy 6:17 and 19, God actually shows us how to be wealthy, how to support others, and even how to store up wealth. So let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy. Chapter 6, and let's read 17 through 19 together. 1 Timothy, chapter 6, 17 through 19. And Timothy's commanded, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living of God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Verse 19, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So even rich people can have eternal life as long as they're following God's instructions, that they're not being rich and being haughty, thinking that they're rich and their comfort comes from those material possessions, but it does come from God, that they're sharing, they're using it for the Lord, and they're storing it up for God's purpose, not just their own. Right? So, when we look at the first mistake of this rich farmer, his first mistake was he was laying up treasures for himself. Laying up treasures for himself. His life was about material gain. He accomplished everything, and he said, I'm done. You know, it's interesting when I when someone retires from a company, and there's nothing wrong with hard work as we just learned, is, you know, you hear some of these emails where people are done, and they're like, I'm done, I'm financially set, I'm going to go enjoy life. You know, I don't know everything about those people, but I will send something, may the Lord be with you. I'll send something to encourage them to go further than that, you know, because we're really not done, even when we've stored up wealth. We got to think about God. We have to be faithful until death, right? You know, I think about retirement sometimes. I think about what it'll be like, but I can't get distracted. I can't let the cares of the world distract my ability to give back to God and to finish the race. I have to be rich towards God, and so do you. It's okay to be successful. We just can't forget about the Lord. You know, I have a couple other examples of people that I work with, and it's kind of sad, and it's really opening my eyes up. I have this doctor. He's a nephrologist, you know, kidneys. And him and his wife just took this tour around the world, and they had a great time. And then when she got back, within 6 months, she died. She got liver cancer, and she died, and it was very sad. And they're very nice people, but it reminds me how short life is and that we can't just store it for ourselves, and we have to make sure that we're storing it for God. We're still about God's business to the end. And I have a colleague of mine. He's in his 60s. He had enough wealth to retire, and him, too, got a liver cancer. Within 8 months, he passed away. And it was very scary. And I let my colleagues know. I says, tomorrow's not promised to any of us. You know, we got to love our families. We got to love God. And we have to be about his business. And I put that out on email just to remind people. Nothing too religious, but just to plant a seed that tomorrow's just not promised. Life is like a vapor for all of us. And so we just have to be careful not to store up treasures on this earth. You know, we got to store up treasures in heaven. So let's go back to our text. Let's go back to Luke 12. Let's read verses 22 through 28 together. And it says, then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you'll put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouses nor barns, and God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? And which of you by worrying can add a cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider lilies. They grow, they neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? It's about the essentials. You know, God didn't promise any of us to be rich. And just like the man who yelled and cried, he didn't promise that he was going to help him with his inheritance problems. But God's going to give us food. He's going to give us clothing. He's going to give us shelter. He's going to give us all those. And he tells us, look at the ravens, right? The ravens don't have houses and storehouses and ways to store up food. God provides them every single day. You know, we're different. So we have little storehouses. We have, little pantries with our favorite snacks. Joshua, some Belvedas, right, Joshua? we have our big storehouses, you know, Food Lion, Harris Teeter, got Publix, right? Don likes that Publix chicken. He shares me every once in a while. Some of our grocery stores. Let's look at verse 25. And it says, and which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? By worrying, by chasing after worldly pleasures, is not going to extend our life. It isn't. It's not going to add one cubit to our stature. So again, we got to go back to what God provides. Go back to his will and purposes for us. And so the farmer was building unnecessary storehouses. He had a bumper crop. A bumper crop is a crop with excess. And so he's like, where am I going to store all this stuff? So he said, I'm going to tear it down and build new ones. But nowhere in there did we see that he was going to be rich towards God. And I think that was his failure. You know, Solomon tested all out. You know, read about it. Read about everything Solomon did in Ecclesiastes. And after he tested all the worldly pleasures, in verse 12, 13, what did he say? Fear God and keep his commandments. Right? That's the whole duty of man. You know, in Galatians, you know, we're told to love the family of believers. In Matthew, as we mentioned earlier, we got to love God and our neighbor. We got to think about that as we are blessed. and then teach the gospel as well and live faithful till death. So what was his second fate, his second mistake? Going back in, again, not being rich towards God. He was being rich towards himself. You know, his daily walk was not diligent toward God. It was diligent towards his purpose. And it's easy to get distracted because we know that the flesh wars against the soul, and they're in conflict. And we see things and hear things, and the eyes want things, and the body desires things. And we have to make sure that we keep those things in balance and we don't focus on the wrong things. Now, we can fail in the same exact way as a farmer. It may not be as drastic at that as that, but we can still fail in the same way. We have to look at our hobbies. Look at how much time we might spend on Facebook or the internet, or even checking our own investments. I mean, there's nothing wrong with investing. I think that's important. But if we spend too much time dwelling on that and focusing on the future and not focusing on God, we can lose track. You know, how much time do we spend on the internet listening to the news? You know, if it's Fox News or CNN News. You know, fill in the blank for yourself. Fill in the blank for yourself. And even young people, you might say, I'm not rich. But someday, you know, as you continue to pursue your education, God may bless you. And I believe he will bless you. And as he blesses you, hold on to the sermon. Be rich towards God as you grow and as you are blessed. Be rich towards the Lord. Okay? We have to make sure that we have God as part of our spiritual goals. And we spend meaningful time with him. As I speak to you, I'm speaking to myself because I got pricked when I was reading this. There's a lot of areas where I know I can make some significant improvements to being rich towards God and spending better quality time with him. So what should we seek? Let's go back to our text, Luke 12. Let's look at 29 through 34. Luke 12, 29 through 34. Read that with me. It says, "Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father, he knows what you need, these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." God wants you to seek the church. "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you" what? The kingdom. It is God's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Within the kingdom, we have Christians. We have souls that have the Spirit of Christ in them. We have many talents and abilities, and we can pray for each other, and we can use our talents to help each other with our dreams and our goals and to help us with many things, right? And verse 33 is a hard one. This is a hard one. It says, "Sell what you have and give alms. Provide for yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys." This might be a little bit different than a rich young ruler when he told him, go sell everything that you have, because it was his material possessions that was keeping him back. Jesus said, go sell what you have and follow me and you have riches in heaven. But this is to sell what you have and give alms. Maybe God's also letting us know that we have just too much stuff. What if we just sold the things that just really weren't that important as just collecting around our house? Have you ever been to a garage sale and to see how happy some of those people are to get rid of some of those things? You know, something worth $20 and I'll say, I'll take it for $5. Just get out of here. So what if we took some of those things and sold those, took the money, and we gave alms? We gave to the poor. Maybe we gave to a family that needed help to go to Bible camp, or we bought some extra food for the pantry. You know, we can do those things. I don't think God's saying sell everything that you have. You know, we need some things, but we just can't put them before the Lord. In verse 34, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So we have to make room for spiritual goals, you know, praying, make sure we have consistent prayer life, Bible study, reaching the lost sheep. I know I can do a better job of that. Encourage the sick, you know, be loving towards the brethren. You know, seeking treasures that are eternal are forever, and the temporal things just pass away. So if we want eternal wealth, then we have to focus on God. We can't focus on both. We can't focus on the earthly things and try to pursue God at the same time. And so, in closing, I have some scriptures. I have some brothers that are going to read some scriptures for me. And I want this to happen because I want you to hear God speaking to us through the Bible. That's how God communicates to us. It's through the scriptures. And together, let's focus on trusting on God's promises. You know, this message is not to give up on pursuing, you know, your dreams and goals. But as we pursue them, as God blesses us, Let's make sure that we have God every step of the way. And as we do that, you know, he's going to bless us even more. You know, and our congregation can grow, our families can grow, and we can enjoy life more. We can have joy versus just happiness. I was driving home from Durham one day, and you guys might be familiar with this song. I was coming home from work, and I was just going through the radio, and there was a country song, and it's something like Money Can't Buy You Happiness. And I was listening to it, and he says, money can't buy me happiness, but it can buy me a truck, you know? Money can't buy me happiness, but it can buy me a ride in the reels and silver bullets. And I start just cracking up laughing, you know, just being a Christian of what we know in terms of what God provides. You know, those things aren't going to provide joy. You know, joy is in Christ. Fulfillment and abundance is in Christ. And, you know, that's what God wants us to focus on. I was just thinking, what if, and it's not bad to have a truck or a boat, but what if those things were first and you died before you can get that boat in the water, you know? It just shows the priority is just not in place, right? So as we pursue those things, we buy those things, keep God first. Seek ye first the kingdom, right? And then don't ever forget about the rich blessings and promises that God gives us. Joshua, God gives us everlasting life. Can you read John 3:16? Can you read it loud? Everlasting life. Christians have that. Paul, mansions in heaven. God gives us mansions in heaven. Amen. That was a John 14:2. I didn't quote the scripture, but John 14:2. And Brother Lieberg, God gives peace to guard our hearts and our minds. Philippians 4:7-8. Amen. So we Amen. God will take care of our heart and our mind, right? Don, we get an unspeakable joy and salvation through God. 1 Peter 1:8-9. Amen. Through Christ, we're going to have joy now, and at the end, we get the salvation of our souls. We get to live with God. All right? And in 1 Corinthians 13:8, you know, we're told that we have a love that never fails. It never fails. And then in James 1:12, Neil's going to read the crown that we're going to get. We're going to finish this race, and God himself is going to give us a crown. Neil, can you get James 1:12? Amen. You see all those blessings that we're going to get from God? So our life does not consist in the abundance of our wealth, right? It consists with obedience to God, loving him, loving our neighbor, being faithful, finishing the race. He says it's a good pleasure to give us the kingdom, which is the church. And he gives us all things through his body. And if you're not a Christian, one of the things we encourage is obedience to the gospel. You know, hearing the truth, Romans 10:17. Believing, Hebrews 11:6, repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, confessing Christ as Lord, Matthew 10:32-33, and then being baptized, Romans 6:1-2. If someone's been studying with you and you're ready to obey the gospel, you know, please come up. Or if you're a member and you just need prayer or you have a confession to make, the elders are here to welcome that request. And that concludes our message, and we have an invitation song, number 755. That's it. And may the Lord be with you all. In Jesus' name.